This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
I'm going to share something with you. When my dog passed away recently, I was completely unprepared for how hard it hit. And it wasn't just, I mean, this is the first dog that I ever had, Fuzzy. It wasn't just sadness. It was a painful loss like I'd never experienced before. And what surprised me most wasn't the grief itself, but how quickly I felt pressure to minimize it, to move on, to not make it a big deal because it was just a dog. And I heard that so often. In fact, someone here at Joy said, "Don't worry, we'll get you another puppy." I was so upset by hearing that. But for so many of us, pets aren't just anything. They're routine, their comfort, their safety, and unconditional presence, especially during the hardest chapters of our lives. So why does losing a pet hurt this deeply? And why can it hit even harder for people already living with anxiety, trauma, or mental health challenges? Well, Associate Professor Erin Smith is from La Trobe University, has been researching the psychological impact of pet loss. Erin, welcome to Drive.
Warren, thanks for having me.
When we lose a pet, what is it about that bond that can make the grief feel as strong as losing a person we love?
Well, as you just said about Fuzzy, pets are our family, and we actually build our routines and memories and even some of our emotional rhythms with them. And so, like yourself, when I lost one of my dogs very recently, I was really blindsided by the weight of the grief. I knew it was going to hurt, but I didn't anticipate just how much it would hurt. And so after that loss, I kind of wanted to understand more because I was a bit like, well, is this just me? Am I making a massive deal out of this? Because as you said as well, I had well-meaning people around me saying, you'll be all right, just get another dog. And that wasn't helpful at all. So I kind of turned to science to see what it actually told us. And interestingly, we release something called oxytocin, which is a bonding hormone when we interact with our pets, right? Which is the same attachment system involved in any of our human relationships. And so when a pet dies, our attachment system experiences this kind of severing that our mind interprets like a major loss, just like it would as if we'd lost a person. So that kind of made me feel a little bit better that when I was crying every day and felt so profoundly sad that there was actually a scientific reason for it.
And it goes on for such a long time. I remember talking to my psychologist about it, going, is there something wrong with me? This is, you know, everyone's saying it's just my dog. But, and he said, I'd be concerned if you weren't feeling this grief when it comes to such a big loss.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, I can tell you the exact date and time for me, but it has been a few months. And yeah, I keep sort of saying, oh, I'm waiting for the day that I wake up and I don't feel it. And that hasn't happened yet. And I don't think it will for a while.
Now, for people already living with trauma or mental health challenges, why can pet loss feel like it opens up something deeper rather than just being another loss?
Yeah, and this was something I experienced. So I have experienced trauma in my past and still live with anxiety. And I really found that the loss of my little Betty Davis exacerbated that in a way that, I wasn't expecting. And I've come to understand that a lot of it is because of this unconditional love and sense of safety that our pets provide. So for many of us, our pets are non-judgmental. They're sources of comfort. And my psychologist actually referred to it as an emotional anchor in the world. And I really loved thinking of it that way. And again, they're that constant presence and unconditional love, as you mentioned, through shifts in our lives and traumatic events, and they never judge us and they're always there just to love us simply and fully. So I think losing that and just that emotional presence really creates a significant void. And in a piece I ended up writing for The Conversation, I talked about the silence in the house and how that silence was just so loud because I was used to feeling that by talking to her and her barking and carrying on. And then all of a sudden it was just this deathly silence that became so so apparent in my life.
I couldn't go home I was staying elsewhere for several weeks because I was used to backing into my courtyard and there'd be this thing bouncing in the window, you know, so excited to see me. And all of a sudden that was gone. There was no noise. It was, it was deafening. The silence, you just notice it.
Yeah, look, I was very lucky. I had twin pugs, Betty Davis and Elizabeth Taylor. And so very sadly when we lost Betty, we still had Elizabeth. So I had to get my stuff together to be there for her. But I actually found that it was really hard to even be with Lizzie for a little while because I felt almost guilty around that. So, yeah, I totally understand that it disrupts the routines and so it can take a little while for us to be comfortable finding that new rhythm without that significant loss.
There is a sense of guilt, though, isn't there? Like you've got this grief and you're feeling so sad and this pain that's of this loss. But there's almost I better put on a face because they'll just think it's just a dog and they'll think I'm an idiot if they knew how much I was grieving. Did you have that pressure? That's something that I felt. I felt like I better just put on a brave face, but I was a mess underneath. Even on radio, I mean, I didn't let people know so much.
Oh, yeah. Look, I was really fortunate that I had a very supportive network of my boss and my work colleagues and my friends knew exactly how close I was to my dog. So my husband and I, we can't have children, so our pugs are our babies. And so I think I was very fortunate in that there was probably a high level of understanding and empathy amongst my social network than some people experience. But I know that what makes this grief even harder is that society does often downplay the grief of losing a pet. And so that can really leave us feeling alone and unsupported, particularly when that really deep emotional bond that we have with our pets is really met with little social recognition when we lose it.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Erin Smith from La Trobe University about why grieving a pet can be as hard as grieving a person. Erin, I mean, I was lucky because, well, not lucky, but, you know, Fuzzy got to old age and his death was prolonged over time. I knew it was coming and I had to make that decision. But what happens when a pet dies suddenly? Why does that shock seem to intensify the grief?
Yeah, and I was in a similar boat in that both my girls got to 11 and a half, which still isn't enough time, but for many people, you know, that was their response as well. Well, they were old anyway. You know, you needed to sort of expect this. But even though there was this sense of anticipatory grief leading up to, we knew our little girl hadn't been well, but it all progressed very quickly at the end. And then having to make that really horrible decision quite quickly that this is the end and to make that choice. And we were very lucky we had very supportive vets to help us through that process and to, you know, remind us that we were doing the right thing for Betty. I mean, if it was for us, we probably would have kept her around much longer, but we knew in the end it wasn't the right thing for her. But it was still quite sudden. It all happened for us in the period of really over a week. And so I think it's that shock that can make the grief even harder to bear, because sometimes it's that abrupt loss that can mirror unpredictability, and particularly for those of us who have experienced trauma in previous parts of our life. If we have got existing mental health challenges like my anxiety, that unpredictability and suddenness of the loss can then trigger some pretty intense stress responses, which is absolutely what I experience.
Many people, I mean, feel embarrassed or dismissed when they grieve a pet. What impact does that lack of validation have emotionally on the grieving process, let's say, compared to, say, grieving a human where everyone does acknowledge it?
Yeah, what I found some really interesting research that had come from the US by an expert called Millie Cordaro, and she's an expert on grief counselling and particularly around the psychological impact of pet loss. And I thought it was really interesting how she explained that the type of loss we can experience when we lose a pet is something called disenfranchised grief, or a loss that isn't really widely acknowledged or supported. And it can really make us feel isolated, you know, healing harder, because it's almost this sense of embarrassment. Like, people would ask me how I was and I burst into tears. I couldn't talk about it at work. And to then sort of feel like people didn't understand and that grief wasn't validated or even diminished in some way actually made it harder to speak openly about how I was really feeling and how profoundly it had impacted me.
What about for children? How does losing a pet affect their understanding of safety, attachment and predictability in the world?
Yeah, so this was interesting when I was looking at my research just to sort of understand how I was feeling. And there is an evidence base that tells us that if a pet dies when we're younger, that can be associated with higher risks of things like depression and anxiety later in life. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the loss of a pet can really challenge a child's sense of safety and predictability in the world. And we also know that the research tells us that for children who have experienced trauma, and this can be something like family instability, it could be abuse or other bereavements, the death of a pet can really compound those feelings of insecurity and even abandonment.
Are there any signs perhaps that families should look out for that suggests a child is struggling more than they realise after a pet dies?
I think it's like with any trauma, just being mindful of changes in behaviours, changes in moods. I'm even just thinking about how I experienced it. There was changes in my sleep patterns and in the way I was interacting with the world. I really disconnected and didn't want to be out and about with people that I loved because I didn't want to talk about it. So I think in those kind of things, we can look for signs in children as well, if they've lost a pet, you know, are they withdrawing from things that they usually find joyful? You know, is there changes in their sleep, in their behaviour, in the way they're eating? Even maybe at school, there might be signs that the teacher picks up on. And I think they're all just, you know, indicators to parents just to have a conversation with the child and remind them that, you know, it's normal to feel like this when we lose something that we love. And I think they're really, you know, actually great opportunities to have really important conversations with children about loss.
Something else, Erin, that struck me with the whole process is, with a human, often we don't necessarily know it's happened. We might hear that it's happened or, you know, we know it's coming. We may be fortunate enough to be there with them when it happens. But I found with my dog Fuzzy, it's you choose the day that it's going to happen. And it's the worst day. It's the worst day ever. And you go for that last walk, and then you take them to the vet. I mean, it's such a horrible process. And I remember someone saying to me, "Oh, look, if it's time, if you don't do it, I'm going to take him and do it." And I thought, how can you say that? How can you just say? But that's the insensitivity that some people can display towards it.
Yeah, look, I remember exactly. We probably in the end had a couple of days to actually plan for that final day, and we made sure that she had pancakes for breakfast, and we went to her favourite walk around the park, and she had a hot jam donut, and we made sure we did it crammed as much as we could into those few hours.
Oh, Erin.
I'm sorry. This is what happens. That's exactly, and this is what I'm talking about, is that every day it brings it back to me. Oh. So I'm sorry.
Erin, we understand. You're with, you're safe here. You're with friends who understand what it's like.
Thank you, Warren.
Absolutely. It's the worst thing.
And
I'm glad that we're talking about it and that people hear how hard it is. Because we don't get to express this. And I think it's really important. So,
it's interesting, Warren. You know, I've written quite a few pieces for The Conversation, and I do a lot of work in disasters and bushfire recovery, and I haven't had the kind of reaction to a piece ever compared to this one. And I think this is why, because so many of us feel this on a deep level.
I know there are lots of people listening now going, absolutely. And some messages have come in that will make you feel good is, I'm so glad you're having this conversation. I lost my dog last year and felt silly for how broken I was. That's Michelle in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And Aaron in Brunswick says, thank you for talking about this. People really don't understand how deep pet grief goes. And Naomi says, this is hitting home hard. My cat was with me through anxiety and lockdown. Losing her wrecked me. That's Naomi in Richmond. So there's a lot of us feeling that. Erin, I'm going to share something with you that I haven't shared with anyone. And the one most beautiful thing for me was when it was time to say goodbye to my dog, the very last thing he did was lick me.
Oh. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was just this big lick came out and then he passed. And it was the most beautiful moment, but it's something that I'll always treasure. And I get upset talking about it as well.
Yes, it's... Oh, look, and my friends do think I'm a little bit crazy because I actually tried to speak to my dog through a pet psychic after he passed.
That's not crazy.
But I'm telling you this because I said, you know, I just need a sign that you're okay. Mm. And so I asked for something that, you know, you wouldn't just see randomly every day that I could count off. And I said, I want a big black butterfly because she was this gorgeous black pug. Oh. And, you know, people around me laughed and what have you. And anyway, I live in Bendigo, and so we were surrounded by bushfires over the past few days, and my anxiety was really quite high, and I had to take my other little dog, Elizabeth, out to go to the toilet early one morning, and I opened the door, and it wasn't a butterfly, but this huge, big black moth was just right in front of my face and flew into the house, and I swear, I said to my husband, it's Betty, it's Betty. And he goes, but it's not a butterfly. I said, I think it's the closest it she could find. Oh. But it gave me comfort that she was there in this time of anxiety. So, yeah, so there you go. I went to the extreme length of trying to speak to her through a pet psychic.
There's nothing wrong with that. I completely understand it. Erin, if for friends, family or colleagues who want to support someone who is grieving a pet, what actually helps in terms of supporting them? What's the best thing you reckon?
Yeah, I think as we've just spoken about, Warren, it's just not underestimating the depth of that grief and not minimising it. And I know sometimes people are well-intentioned and they're like, oh, well, they were old, it was time, you can get another dog. That doesn't help. And I think really the best thing people can do is to actually just share that empathetic response of saying, I know they meant the world to you and I know this must be a really terrible time. And to have people reach out to me and validate that sense of loss was really, really important and helpful for me.
Erin, love chatting with you. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Warren. And I apologise for the tears.
Don't apologise. I want you to be proud of it. I want people to know how much it hurts when you lose a pet. So thanks, Erin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Warren. Bye.
That's Associate Professor Erin Smith from La Trobe University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.